Good morning. Great to see you all here this morning. It's great to be here. You missed my wife. She's taking care of our daughter who had a bit of a scare when she wasn't sitting down like she was supposed to. She tipped a chair, fell on her butt. So us parents sometimes have to drop everything to take care of those little ones, don't we? Well, it's great to be here. I got a call from Dave last Saturday. We were on our way back from visiting family in the Seattle area. He said, "Kenny, can you come and preach next Sunday or the Sunday after?" So I thought, well, I've been out here once and he was asking me to come back, so I guess that's all right. So anyway, it's great to be here. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verse 11 through 16 out of the English Standard Version. Whatever Bible version you have, just feel free to follow along with, and we'll kind of work through this together. How's that? So one thing before I get started reading this, we're going to walk through this passage. I think sometimes, at least for me, I struggle. I sprint through scriptures. I read them too fast. And I miss out on nuggets of truth, or I miss out on opportunities for God to speak to me. So we're going to kind of walk through this passage this morning, and I'm going to start reading here in verse 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." There's really a lot packed into that passage. And we don't really have the time here this morning to completely unpack it. So if you bear with me, I'm going to share with you my theme. But first, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth of the scriptures that lead us and direct us by your Spirit. We thank you for the truth that is found in them that is useful for teaching and correcting us in the ways of righteousness. God, help us to hear what it is you have for each of us this morning, and help us to respond in a way that is honoring and pleasing unto you. We love you. We thank you for this time together, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So the theme of my sermon this morning is that when we become a part of the family of God, we're also given a responsibility. It's God's desire to use every Christian to contribute to the equipping of the saints for the building up of Christ's church. Repeat after me, if you will. Tequilma Bible Church is not my church. Now, why would I ask you to say that? Can anybody answer that? Why would I have you say that? Yes, sir, you in the back.
Only Jesus' church.
Tequilma Bible Church is Christ's church. And we are Christ's church. Amen? So before we get into this passage, I thought it was important to just share a few things about the book of Ephesians. A little bit of background. We know that the author is the Apostle Paul, and it was written around 60 AD during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero. He's a pretty bad dude. Paul's audience is Jew and Gentile believers here in the church in Ephesus, and the reason Paul wrote it is twofold. We can kind of break the book of Ephesians up into two sections. The first section, and if you have your sermon note sheets, this will be your first blank. The intentions of writing this letter are to, one, shed light on our spiritual blessings in Christ. So that will be your first blank on your sermon note sheet if you're following along. And second, to exhort the saints to tell us, the church, to live a life that reflects those spiritual blessings. That's your next blank. Reflects those spiritual blessings by contributing to the building up of the body of Christ. So, how do we do that? How does God help us to contribute to the equipping of the body for the building up of the church? Well, one way that He does that is by grace, imparting grace unto us in the form of things called spiritual gifts. Each of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes down and He takes residence in us. Amen? You guys know that, right? And with the residence of the Holy Spirit, He imparts unto us works, well, gifts, in order to use for the equipping of the saints for the building up of Christ's church. So if you are standing here professing the name of Christ, or sitting here professing the name of Christ, then God has a purpose for you here in His church. It's very encouraging, at least for me, because I'm my own worst critic sometimes, and it's comforting for me to know that even at my worst, God has a purpose and a plan for me. Amen? So, I want you to look to the person next to you and say, "You need me." And then I want you to look at that person and say, "I need you." I think it's important for us to understand that the church is not a single strand, but it's a beautiful tapestry that has been put together by the Lord. Amen? And when it's working the right way, it's a very, very beautiful thing to see. So, while we're on the subject of spiritual gifts, I thought it would be important for you to know that there are four places in the New Testament that we learn about what spiritual gifts are, what those spiritual gifts are. And we can find them in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We're not going to turn there this morning, but if you want to put down these passages on your notes, I would encourage you to just take some time and look into the scriptures for yourself and say, well, what are these spiritual gifts? And what are my spiritual gifts? Because I think it's everyone's opportunity to know, it's everyone's responsibility to know what their spiritual gifts are. Amen? So in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we find them: prophecy, faith, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. We also find them in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 11. Find wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, before I go any further, I just want to make it very clear. I'm not here to talk about which gifts are applicable today. That's another sermon for another day, probably by somebody else. Okay? I'm not here to say, okay, these gifts are still legitimate, these gifts are not legitimate. I just want to make that very clear that we're not going to go there this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, we find apostleship, prophet, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance, and tongues. Now, of course, these gifts, they overlap in some passages. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, which I already read to you this morning, we have apostle, prophet, evangelist, and shepherd, or pastor, teacher. So I want to make it very clear that in order for the church to reach its fullest potential, everyone must do their part. Amen? I want to make it very clear that pastors and evangelists, teachers, we can't do it by ourselves, nor should we. If you are here professing the name of Christ, God has a place for you to be used for the equipping of the saints for the building up of Christ's church. There's no bench. We shall be active participants in what God is doing. Amen. And I've heard some great things since I've come here to the field and talked to some people who have been affiliated with Third Point Bible Camp for a very long time. I've heard some great things about Tacoma Bible Church. I've heard some great things about Dan Robinson and some of the things that you folks have been doing here, serving in your community and building up young people to be servant leaders. It's just a great thing, and I just want to acknowledge that what you're doing here, according to what I've heard, is great, and continue on, and keep on doing what you're doing, because I hear a lot of good things about this body of believers here. So we have a goal. As parts of Christ Church, our goal, and this is point three, I've kind of moved through quite quickly, because I wanted to share a story with you and read a letter to you from an individual that I know and love. So I'm kind of pushing through this kind of fast. Just bear with me. Maturity in Christ-likeness is the goal. In order for us to fully arrive, we have to be like Christ. Is that possible while we're here on earth? No, it's not possible. When we see Christ face to face, when we're with Him together in glory, then we will be like Christ. Amen. Right now, and I appreciate Pastor Dave's study this morning, we talked about original sin. We talked about the work of Christ on the cross. We talked about His sovereign lordship and our free will and how do those things work. Well, we all know that we were affected by original sin, that through one man sin entered the world, and we're all affected by that. While we're here in the flesh, we cannot be like Jesus, but we can strive to imitate Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Amen? We can. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that. So, in order to be like Jesus, how can we learn how to be like Jesus? Well, one of the ways that I learn is by reading through the Gospels. We know that the life of Jesus is well recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read about Him in the book of Acts. We read about Him in the writings of the Apostle Paul and Apostle John. And there's a lot we can learn about Christ by spending time in the Scriptures. And one of the ways that we learn about Christ is by looking at the Scriptures and comparing our life to Jesus and knowing and asking ourselves, do we measure up? So there are 4 points that I think we should characterize, 4 ways that we should characterize Jesus. And we know that in Acts 14, 19 through 23, Jesus made disciples who in turn made disciples. If you've read that story, Paul and Barnabas in Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, they went and they made disciples. Now, if we know anything about the life of Apostle Paul, we know that he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, where God struck him with blindness, and then God gave special instructions to a man, does anyone know who that is, who laid hands on Paul to receive his sight? Ananias, right? Ananias took Paul under his wing and taught him, and then the other disciples taught Paul how to live for Jesus. So Jesus made disciples who in turn made disciples. Point B, Jesus loved the least. We see that, right? In Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. With the blind beggar, the man who sat blind on the wayside, who yelled out, help me, help me, help me. And people were like, be quiet, get out of here. You know, Jesus doesn't have time for you, blah, blah, blah. And what happened? Jesus came and He healed this blind beggar. Point C, Jesus denied Himself. We see that in Matthew 26:39 in the Garden of the Gethsemane, right? When Jesus knew that He was going to be nailed on the cross, He said, God, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, let Your will be done. Jesus denied Himself. And then point D, Jesus was led by the Spirit. We read that in Matthew chapter 4, just shortly after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Where did He go? He went into the wilderness to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And how did He overcome the temptations of the devil? By the Word of God, right? So, Jesus made disciples. Jesus loved the least. Jesus denied Himself. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, are you making disciples? Are you loving the least? Are you denying yourself? Are you led by the Spirit? I think these are important questions to ask, and I often, when my house is quiet, when Amy and the kids are in bed, I often stay up and I think about these things. Lord, how am I doing? I think it's so important for us to take a personal inventory from time to time to make an honest effort to become more and more like Jesus. I think in our day and age, we can be so busy with our gadgets and our apps and watching the news and, you know, being more mindful of what's happening in our communities and in our states and in our country and around the world. There's a lot of news. You know, with the coming presidential election, there's a lot of news. There are a lot of ways that we can become sidetracked from that which is most important. You know, I thought to myself, if I spent as much time reading the Bible as I did watching the news, or writing on Facebook, or how much more effective of a Christian would I be? Amen. So Jesus set an example for us, and I have bad news for you. This example that Jesus led is in constant war with our flesh, right? We have this body that lets us down all the time. You know, how many of you have tripped and fallen and hurt yourself pretty bad? So about 3 weeks ago, I was walking down the stairs of our house, and I slipped. I was wearing socks on carpeted steps. Have any of you ever slipped on carpeted steps? They can be pretty slick when you're wearing socks, or even if your feet are bare. But I hurt myself pretty bad, and I could not do anything for a couple weeks. I was, you know, I'm a cleaning contractor. I do a lot of work on roofs. I do a lot of roof moss and debris removal, gutter cleaning, pressure washing, window cleaning, things like that. I really rely on my body being in good enough shape to accomplish those tasks. And when I fell on those steps, I thought, this is just changing everything for me. I had to cancel some jobs that I had on the calendar. I couldn't be the perfect helpmate for my wife. She had to take a majority of the load to care for our kids. I couldn't even pick up our 16-month-old without intense pain. I went to the doctor and they said, well, maybe you broke a rib, but there's really nothing that we can do about that. You just have to wait for it to heal up on its own. Tore some muscles in my lower back. I'm pretty sure I did. There's really nothing you can do but take pain medicine for that and just wait to heal up. So with that being said, we have this flesh that lets us down. We have this carnal nature that is infested with a sin problem that lets us down. It's up to us to listen to the Spirit of God day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, moment by moment, in order to overcome our carnal tendencies. We created a little bit of a list: pride, jealousy, envy, gossip, slander, laziness, arrogance, lust. All of these things are family killers, church killers, ministry killers, hindrances to the message of Christ. I think it's important that we think about these things, that we realize that we're in a battle right now, that we're living in a war where the devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy us and the message of God. I'm going to share with you a little bit of a story. In my early discipleship process, I came to Christ. Dave was talking about 21 years ago, he found this community here at Tequilma. Well, it'll be 21 years in October that I actually found Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's funny, we're all on a journey. I want to share with you a little story. When I came to Christ at a place called Carriage Town Ministries, an American Gospel Rescue Mission, I was homeless. I was a drug addict and an alcoholic. I didn't realize that I had a problem. And then this man, Homer Bassett, bless his heart, Reverend Homer Bassett, who was the men's director there, said, "Kenny, can't you see why your life is so screwed up? You need Jesus." And I finally realized that Jesus was what I needed. And then started the real work. Then started the house cleaning process. Lots of stuff in here that needed to come out. Lots of misconceptions and lots of patterns that needed to be erased. Some things that I needed to think about. So anyway, one of the things that I learned early in my Christian walk was accountability, the importance of accountability. In order for me to become the Christian that God wanted me to be, I had to be accountable to somebody. And I think that's it's a big part of discipleship. Are we accountable to somebody? You know, as Christians, we're accountable to God under the direction of the Holy Spirit by His Word, right? How can we know what lies are? Well, we know what the truth is so well that we can spot out the lies. So one of my responsibilities in this accountability process was bagging the donuts. We had a place called Supreme Donuts who donated day-old donuts to the mission, and it was my job to wake up at 5:30 every morning to bag the donuts, to put them in crates, sit them behind the front desk so the front desk man could pass them out to people who came in and were hungry. And I struggled getting up. I'd set my alarm, and the alarm would go off, and I would hit the snooze, go right back to sleep. Sometimes I would turn it off and go right back to sleep. It happened one time, and Reverend Bassett came in and said, "Kenny, wake up, wake up! You're going to miss chapel. You need to bag the donuts." I went and bagged the donuts. The next morning, it happened again. "Kenny, wake up, it's time to make the donuts! Time to bag the donuts, you're going to miss chapel." Bagged the donuts, went into chapel. And you know what? It happened the third time. Three strikes are out, right? No, they didn't boot me out of the program, thank the Lord. But there were consequences because I was not willing to be accountable to the rules of the program. And my punishment was to go and oil all the wood trim around Carriage Town Ministries. They gave me some oil, and there's wood trim around the doorways, you know, on the walls, and I had to go and polish all of that stuff. And it took me about 4 hours a day for 4 days, along with all of my other responsibilities and chores while a resident in that rehab program. I didn't like it. None of us like to be punished. But God has a plan. And God wants us to, He wants us to be accountable. He wants us to be all that He wants us to be. Amen. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." Right? Are we listening to the Spirit of God in our lives? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to speak to us through another person? So we've talked a little bit about the purpose of the church, right? Evangelists, pastors, teachers, they're called to equip the saints for the work of the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. So what does a healthy church look like? This is point four. And point A, the healthy church is not misled by false doctrine. We find this in verse 14, right? Human cunning or craftiness and deceitful schemes. We know the difference between the truth and the lies because we are familiar with the Word of God. Amen. Point B, healthy church is the body of Christ who speaks the truth in love and imitates Christ in thought, word, and deed. We find that in verse 15, right? Point C. The healthy church is the body of Christ who is joined and held together by each and every person as the Spirit enables. Now, we have toddlers. We have three children. Samuel, he's 5. Emma Lou, she's 3. She'll be 4 in October. And then Benjamin is 16, or is he 17 months now? 16 months. An infant, and for those of you parents, infants are precious. But they're easy to contain, aren't they? Maybe they wake you mothers up in the middle of the night for a drink. Maybe they fuss, and they can be a challenge, don't get me wrong, but they're very easy to contain. But once infants start to realize, hey, I have these joints, I have these arms, I have these legs, I want to learn how to use them. They start walking and stumbling and bumping into things. They start climbing things and falling down and bumping their heads. They do what they want. They're exploring their world. They're using the body that God gave them. They're becoming more familiar with how to use their body. And they're hard to contain. Now, maybe this is a little bit of a stretch, but I think that if we, the church, knew how to use our gifts, how hard would it be for the devil to contain the message of the gospel of Christ? If each of us were active, doing what we're supposed to do, it's unstoppable. We could be unstoppable. We could, just like the disciples, change the world in the book of Acts, right? God established the first church, and there were miracles, and there were people coming to Christ. The gospel was being shared. What they established, same spirit that resided in them is the same spirit that resides in us. We can do this by the Spirit of God who lives in us. Point D. The healthy church is the body of Christ who continually grows numerically and in love. Amen. I think, we think about Jonah and Nineveh, and, that whole city came to believe in God the Almighty, right? That's what the scriptures tell us. Last I heard, in the last place that I visited, in the place where I live, there is not a whole city that has come to the Lord. There's work for us to do. So, we find that in verse 16b. We continually grow in love for one another, right? In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus tells the disciples, love one another. This is how they will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. So we grow in love for one another, for the church, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We grow more in love for the person and the work of Christ, right? Jesus, sovereign Lord over all creation, who took the time to look at me and say, I want you, I have a purpose and a plan for you. Kenny Gray, he put people around me who saw things in me that I did not see in myself. Maybe you're struggling this morning. You think, God can't use me. My mind is too far gone. What do I have to offer the Lord? You have a life to offer. And God will reach out to you, and He will touch you, and He will use you in ways that you never thought or imagined you could be used. Just believe it. Because with the Spirit of God, all things are possible. We grow more in love for the Word of God, the Bible. We desire to spend time in His Word. We fall more in love with the gospel, the message of God, the message of Jesus. We realize that without the message of the gospel, we would never know who God is. We would never know who Jesus is. We would never know that we could be free from our sins. We become more in love with the lost. We make an effort to share the gospel with people who need to hear it. We choose to integrate, to share our lives with people who are less fortunate than we are. We choose to give that which was given to us. And then the last thing, we grow more in love with discipline. Right? No discipline is pleasant, but when it creates that which it was meant to create in us, then it's a beautiful thing. So in closing, when everyone works, the church prospers, okay? I said this once, but I want to say it again. Pastors, evangelists, and teachers can't do it alone. Christian service is not a vocation or a profession, but a responsibility given to all who wear the name of Christ. There's no special requirements needed to get involved, just a willingness to submit to the Spirit of God who does the work through you. Amen? Point B, when everyone works, everyone partakes in the joy of service. You know, I'm kind of in the camp that believes that one of the problems that we have in our physical, emotional, and spiritual struggles that we face as believers are due to the fact that we're not serving others with our spiritual gifts. Or that we're overworked because others aren't stepping up to the plate. All got to work together, folks. See, Jesus commands us to love one another and our neighbors. Outside these doors are people who are in need of the gospel. As fellow workers, let us consider our place as God's instruments to draw people to Himself. There are many ways that you can be used. You know, one of the things that I appreciated about the service this morning is there was a time where we could share requests. One of the gentlemen over here said that there's a place that you can serve to build a ramp at a school. I'm sure that there are ways you can serve with the women's retreat that's coming up. There are ways to serve in this church. Maybe you're a teacher. Have you thought about teaching a small group? Maybe you're not really a teacher, but God has shown you a lot about life and given you a lot of wisdom. How about being a mentor to a child, a youth, or a new believer? Maybe you're a great cook. God bless you. Maybe God's calling you to be a hospitable host in your home. Right? Maybe you can serve dinner to people. And then you can have a Bible study in your home. Maybe just a helper, right? All these ministries need people to help. Maybe just maybe in children's church or a children's ministry or VBS or whatever, maybe they just need someone to help watch the kids and make sure they don't run off into the street and get hit by a car. You know, you can be a helper. You can be a supporter of ministry. Of ministries that are happening in your church. So with that being said, I would like to read a letter to you. And this is an open letter to the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. This was written by somebody that I know, and I'll share who that person is after I read this. Some of you might be able to figure it out. I know the Winchesters will probably figure it out here as I'm reading, but we'll see. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Although I grew up in a Christian home, and God put His hand on my life as a youth, I walked for many years in my own way, knowing God was there, but not submitting my life to Him. But God would not let me go. In my early 20s, I married my first wife, Kathy, and by 1980, we had three beautiful children. When my oldest daughter, Amy, entered high school, her best friend invited her to youth group at Bridgeport Chapel, an AMF, in-faith-affiliated church in our area. It wasn't long before she was off to the AMF in-faith summer camp where she committed her life to Jesus. I had little understanding of what that meant, but I could clearly see how God was guiding her life. Then our second daughter, Kelly, began attending, and at camp she also gave her life to Christ. By that time, Kathy and I even began helping out at camp. Amy and Kelly went on to college, and Amy married one of the young men she met at church. And yet, I still did not believe. But God was at work planting seeds and surrounding us with gardens that would bring a harvest in His time and His way. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." November 19th, 1997 is a day that I will never forget. Kathy and I traveled to OHSU for outpatient surgery on her sinuses. Something went terribly wrong and a blood clot in her brain left her with locked-in syndrome, fully cognitively aware but unable to voluntarily move a single muscle in her body. This was a devastating time for our whole family, but by the grace of God, the mercies and kindness of His people, and many miracles, we came through 5.5 years of caring for Kathy. During the last half of that time, Amy and her husband James were worship leaders at Bridgeport Chapel, and we attended there every week with Kathy in her special wheelchair. Finally, Kathy's body began shutting down. It was a struggle for her to just breathe. As Kelly sat with her that final afternoon, she said, "It's okay, Mom, you can go." At that moment, as Kathy went home to Jesus, a pair of doves softly landed outside her window. They stayed for 3 days and then were gone. We had never seen them before, and we have never seen them since. God had commanded His light to shine in my heart through dark circumstances by the love and prayers of His wonderful people. It takes people. It takes the church. Each person. 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." We can never know the impact or value of the very small or sometimes larger things that we do in the body as gardeners for His glory. Who are the many volunteers in children and youth ministry? Who are the cabin leaders? Who planned and directed the camp programs? Who worked behind the scenes to buy food, cook, and clean? Who prayed diligently? And from that, my daughters came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Through them and many others that God surrounded our family with, I came to know Him too. I praise God and thank Him daily for these wonderful mercies which He has shown down in and through His body, the church, the people. He could do things many ways, but He has chosen to use these earthen vessels. Right? We were talking, God could do things lots of different ways. Why He chooses to use us, it's beyond me. It's kind of like this, you know? I can't fathom it. But we have purpose. Our lives have purpose. Amen? He could do many things, many ways, but He has chosen to use these earthen vessels to contain and share the treasure of who He is to a lost world of which I was once a part. We garden, and He gives the increase. It's not about us. It's about God using us however He chooses to use us. He imparted on us grace in the form of gifts to use us. Humbly in His service, Steve Bennett, who is my wife's mother's husband, my father-in-law, my wife's stepdad. You know, like I said, the church is not a strand. It's a wonderful, beautiful tapestry that God is putting together before our very eyes. We have a purpose. We have a responsibility. With what we've been given, with the knowledge that we've been given, with the gifts that we've been imparted by the Holy Spirit who resides in us, we have a responsibility. You know, Amy and I, when we joined in faith, we never thought that God was going to call us to be missionaries. And we're learning what that's about. Right now, we're learning how to think, how to live like missionaries. We're learning how to be frugal. We're learning how to communicate better. We're learning how to surrender our lives in ways that we've never had to before. And it's a challenge. Each and every day it's a struggle. So, what I'm asking for each of you is to consider, what am I doing now that's hindering me from being an active member of Christ's church? What do I need to let go of in order to be effective in the ministry that He's entrusting me? Maybe you have a neighbor who would never step foot in a church. Maybe you could have them over to your home. Maybe your family is falling apart, or somebody else in your family's lives are falling apart because of drugs or alcohol. There are people that each of us know that none of us will ever meet. Are we maximizing our relationships in such a way that those who don't know the gospel of Christ, the hope that can only be found in Christ, are we doing what we can to share that message with the people that God has placed in our lives? I can't wait to see what God does in our ministry, in mine and Amy's ministry. He's done a lot of great things, and I don't know how He's pulled certain things off, but He has. And what seems impossible to me, I'm realizing that it's possible through the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen? All right, with that, let's pray. Oh God, we just thank You so much for Your faithfulness and Your love in each of our lives. God, we thank You for the people that You've placed in our lives. Lord, I pray that You help us to submit ourselves to You, to the purpose that You have for each of our lives. God, help us to submit to the Holy Spirit. God, help us to love You. Help us to love Your Word. Help us to have a passion to go out and reach the lost. And Lord, just to share our lives with others. God, we know that You desire to use us. And we thank You, Lord, that when we fall short, Your grace is sufficient for us. And God, I just pray that You would bless Tecumseh Bible Church. Bless all the ministries that are happening here. I pray for Pastor Dan and Star and their family as they're gone on vacation, that You help them to feel refreshed and relaxed. And God, I pray for this congregation, that You would just help them to know how to better serve You and one another. God, help us to be led by love. And we give You all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Thank you very much.
At the end of Dan's preaching, he always asks for comments and questions.
Oh, yes.
And I just want to tell you that your sincerity lends much weight to your challenge to each one of us to question, you know, what's keeping us from being the servants we need to be. And I thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Any questions or comments? Within reason? I am Clay, okay? I'm going to share that sentiment. Yes, Bev.
You read this letter from your father-in-law.
Yes.
Has he impacted your life at all?
Oh, absolutely. So when I met Amy, I had relocated from Michigan. The economy crashed. I had a cleaning business there. I relocated to Gillette, Wyoming to get a job working for a surface coal mine. And I was making $18 an hour, and I thought, well, it won't take long for me to build up the bank account a little bit and prepare to have a family. So I thought it would be good to try to find a wife. I met Amy on eHarmony. We're a low-profile match. You're not going to see any commercials with us. And when I met Amy, it was probably the most profound thing that happened in my life, because I knew that she was the one that God had for me. And one thing that I never realized was that I was going to marry into such a strong Christian family, because I didn't have that growing up. Steve, my father-in-law, he saw things in me that I did not see in myself. And he said, Kenny, I want to be an instrument of the Lord to help you get to where God wants you to be. And he has blessed us through encouragement, through saying things I didn't always want to hear. Lord used him to pay for my college. Praise the Lord. Didn't have to go into debt at all for my college. You know, he's probably one of the most godly men that I've ever known. Yes, he has blessed me immensely.
So the people who invested in his children's lives.
Oh yeah.
Invested in your life.
Oh yeah. It's a chain reaction. It's amazing. You know, there's this movie called Pay It Forward where, you know, I can't remember the movie. It's been years since I've seen it. But one person does a good deed and that person does a good deed and then it keeps on going and going and going. You know, this work that God created us to do, it just keeps going and going and going, generations after generations, because there are Christians who are being led by the Spirit and who are taking seriously their calling to equip the saints for the work of the building up of Christ's church. There are people who take time to invest in us, and then God just works through them, and he works through us. And it's really an amazing thing. It's really a beautiful thing. So, anybody else have anything that they'd like to share or question? Yes, you in the back.
I watched that movie last night, and I was thinking how, yeah, you know, good deeds are one thing, but if you would share the gospel, and then that person shares the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. It's, discipleship is, when it multiplies, it's working the way that it's supposed to work, right? We see Jesus, he brings up Peter, James, Peter, James, John, Andrew. He brings up the disciples and he teaches them and they go, the Holy Spirit comes down at Pentecost and then they go out and they establish the church. And then it just keeps going generation after generation because God's truth goes forth through his people by his Spirit. So, yeah, it's an amazing thing. Anybody else have anything else that they'd like to... Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering if you could share how we can pray for you as things are going. You said it's a challenge. If you can tell us what those challenges are a little bit.
Absolutely, I could create a long list if you like. So right now, like I said, we're learning how to be missionaries. We didn't think God was going to call us into the mission field. So a lot of the things that we're learning are things that are new to us. Travel is difficult with three small children. So maybe you can pray that God would give us protection and grace while we're on the road, while we're traveling. We are in need of living accommodations. We want to get out here into the field as quickly as possible. We're living in Portland. It's a 4.5-hour commute. It's really a difficult commute. So as soon as we can find a place to live here in Southern Oregon, the better off we'll be, I think. So maybe you can pray that God will lead us and direct us, and we will be sensitive to his leading in that provision. You can pray for Fir Point Bible Camp. You know, it's been around for 50 years, and it's really done a lot of work. But, you know, there are staff there, and just like any group of people who work together closely for any length of time, there are personality conflicts and issues that come up. You can pray that God would help the staff of Fir Point Bible Camp and Bible Conference to be focused on what God placed them there to do. You know, we're all people. We all have these clay feet. We need the Lord to change us. We need the Lord to help us to learn to forgive and to love each other. I could probably come up with a pretty long list if I had time to think without any distractions, but anybody else have anything? Pray for our family, pray for our ministry, which is in its, our ministry. You know, we're hoping that what God has laid on our hearts would be able to enmesh with something that's already there. Obviously, at camp, we want to get the gospel out there to young people and families, but we also want to create discipleship programs that are geared towards those children who've been to camp who aren't from churched homes, so that they can come and they can be a part of something and they can be nurtured and equipped to do the work that God's calling them to do. So there's really a lot of moving pieces to that, and pray that God would help us to discern how He's leading, and just help us to be in alignment with Him, with whatever He wants us to do, with that discipleship ministry that He's calling us to. So that's about all I can think of right now. Is that it? All right. I guess I can get out of this hot seat then. Our God, we just thank You so much again for this time that we have together. God, we thank You for Your Spirit who resides in each of us. We thank You for calling us to be Your church. God, help to come a Bible church to be all that You've created for it to be, Lord. I pray for anyone who's struggling right now. Maybe there's a new believer who doesn't realize the potential that they have in You, God. I pray that You would just put people around them and instill with them through Your Spirit that their life has purpose and meaning and that You desire to use them. God, I pray for those in the community here who do not know You, who have not heard Your gospel, and maybe who have heard Your gospel and have turned a blind eye to it. God, I just pray that You move in their hearts and their minds. Lord, we know that You call people to minister, and we want to be vessels that are submitted to You wholly, without reservation or hesitation. Help us, Lord. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You.